when the replay official did not stop the game?
I'm not going to comment on that. I'll get fined for the rest of my life if I get commented on that.
We had a great belief in our locker room. We didn't have to do anything special, just be us. I was so proud of this team. We had so much fun, it ought to be illegal.
Coach Carousel talk, is that something you just ignore?
Yeah, you ignore because 1 week you're getting fired and the next week you're going to take another job, and I'm worried about the darn SEC West Championship. And so, yes, to answer your question.
Our purpose is to win, make no mistake about it, but it's to win the right way. And our goal, our stated goal, is going to be to win the SEC East.
That's iron sharpening iron. That's the way this thing's got to work, man. We got to know and understand that it's got to be about competition.
Talk about the reception you received from the fan base. Did you ever think you'd be kissing and hugging babies at the tarmac when you got off the plane?
A lot better than another tarmac experience that I had. I didn't think of that. It was like an anniversary or something like that.
We're coming. We're coming. And we ain't backing down.
It's time for Carolina football. So get the fuck out of your seats. Spurs up.
Welcome into the latest episode of That SEC Podcast presented by MyBookie. I'm your host, Mike Breton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin, Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man, I need a drink, and I need it bad. So much going on in the SEC.
You ain't drinking a Rona, are you?
No, sir, no Rona for us. I'm still in my bunker here. And let me just be clear, I'm not drinking to celebrate any of this news. I don't want anyone to be confused here. I'm drinking because, my God, it looks like...
The world's falling apart.
I'm not ready to go doom and gloom, but every hour that passes, something gets worse. I don't know what's coming next, but the big news, of course, Nick Saban tested positive for COVID. Oh, my God, I thought it was... You know, it's almost one of those when the news first leaks, you got to check it three or four times, make sure it's not one of these damn fake Twitter accounts or what have you. But, oh my God, Shane, I'm going to take a sip of this beer. What's your thoughts on Nick Saban testing positive?
Well, a couple thoughts, Mike. The first thing that popped in my head was obviously Hugh Freeze in the hospital bed at the game. Because that's got to happen this weekend, Mike. We're talking about the Georgia Bulldogs coming to town. This is a huge game. So this was like the worst time. Then the second thought was like, you know, well, maybe after last week he thought he was going to lose, you know, to one of his proteges. And he didn't want to spike that 21-0 streak. So now he's finding an out. And I'm like, nah, that's not Nick Saban. You know, I was imagining Nick Saban getting this test and him immediately looking at him and said, test me again. You know, Saban will not accept a positive result. So it's crazy with all the COVID news and, you know, a lot of people, you know, we steer clear of politics. As much as we can about COVID talk. We're there's Corona bros and there's not, you know, I'm in a lot of threads with a lot of people. Some of them are, you know, taking COVID really, really, really serious, which they probably should. And some of them, you know, hey, it's just another, you know, whatever. I will say personally, Mike, I've had two close relatives to me, extremely close, and to both of us actually, and both have Corona, and they had different results. You know, both of them, it was moderate. It was something that it wasn't a big deal. It was something they survived. You know, Now I know there's a little bit more concern with elderly people. You know, but you know, Nick Saban's not your typical 95-year-old, Mike.
No, you know, he looks like he's 40.
Absolutely. The man could probably kick both our asses. So I think he's in better shape than both of us. And I think he'll be fine. And everything I'm hearing, it sounds like he doesn't even have symptoms. Am I right?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is just the world we're living in. SEC, they had a damn presser from his den here. So what happened? So, you know, they do the daily testing down there in Alabama. Nick Saban tests positive. The AD Greg Byrne has tested positive. And apparently Nick Saban said, you know, he gets tested every day. They found out he was positive and he hightailed it back home. He lives right by the football facility, so he's just down the road, and he's still doing meetings. He's feeling fine. He's not feeling sick, so that's great news. And apparently none of the players are tested positive, so that's also good news. And yeah, I mean, it sounds like...
Sounds like Butch Jones spiked that coffee, man. You know? Was he going to get fired from the sanitized team? Oh, sorry. Again, we're not making fun of Corona or COVID, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not. You know, we're laughing to not cry because, Mike, it reminds me when I was at work one time and I had a slight rip in the crotch of my pants, okay? It sucked. I knew it as soon as I got out of the truck. I was like, oh my gosh, I got this. I got to be careful. And as I went throughout the day, man, I kept forgetting about it. You know, I do a big stretch or something, and next thing you know, that little rip came a bigger rip. You know, and that's what I'm thinking of this Corona news and the way it's just coming out. I feel like, man, we're barely hanging on here. And if a couple more rips, man, you're exposed. So I'm worried. And like I said, we're not making fun of the coronavirus by no means, but we're just, you know, we're trying to make light of the moment because we really don't know what's about to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's kick it over to Nick Saban real quick here. He, like I said, he gave a short presser, and I think people will want to hear from him because he was upbeat. He was positive. He's going to kick COVID's ass. Nick Saban kicks everybody's ass. He's going to kick this thing in the ass too. So let's kick it over to Coach real quick, and then we'll talk about it on the other side.
Coach, two-part real quick. First was, did you find out through the routine daily testing that you're doing, did you feel any different and ask for a test, or was it the routine testing?
No, this was routine every day. We test our players every day. I get tested every day. I feel fine. I felt fine. I was very surprised, you know, by this. So, and then we got the results back at 1 o'clock today.
And also in the light of this and Lane Kiffin saying that Ole Miss was dealing with certain issues, have you in the player daily testing, have you noticed, has it been a noticeable difference in positives or any change or any indication of a spike?
No, we haven't had any indications of that at all with any player.
Thank you, Coach.
Did you guys have a succession plan in place in case you were to test positive, and how much autonomy will Steve have to make decisions for the team?
Well, you know, the autonomy part, we haven't really decided yet, but in light of the fact that any coach could test positive, we try to have a protocol in place for, you know, if we lost a coach, especially one in a leadership position, who would, you know, step in for them. Obviously, Sark has been a head coach before. And I'm not sure exactly how this is going to play out in terms of when the game comes, you know, whether I can have communication with people or not. So we'll have to research and sort of figure that one out. But we did have a plan for each coach on the staff as to what might happen. And we just got to go from there. Just like if we lose a player, we have to do the same thing.
Hey, Coach, do you have a handle on how limited you'll be in the game planning process while you're remote outside of game day? Like how much you may not.
I can do absolutely everything here that I do. I'll have the same exact routine. You know, the first thing I do on Thursday morning is watch the defense practice with the defense. Then we do 2-minute and 2-point plays. Then I watch what we did against each other with the offense. Then I watch the offensive practice. Then I watch special teams. Then I usually do a little write-up for 2-minute and 2-point plays for the team. I'll do all those things exactly like I always do it. I watched practice today. I had the manager had a phone. If I wanted a play repeated, I said, repeat that play. So-and-so messed up. So, you know, I didn't leave the country or anything. I'm just right down the street, and we have this technology, so it's really unique. Now, I don't have any experience in this, but we're going to do the best we can to keep everything normal as possible.
Nick, I'm curious with contact tracing in regards to your positive. Can you walk me through a little bit of what that process is, please?
Well, you know, our medical staff sort of manages that, but, you know, everybody manages their own personal space. You know, I wear this mask, you know, in the office when I'm around anybody. Wear it around the players. All the players wear it in meetings. So we have a protocol in place that, you know, we're concerned about anybody in the whole organization that could test positive. So the secretaries have masks on. So we're trying to have everybody manage their own personal space. And that's the best we can do. And our medical staff has done a really good job of that to this point. And hopefully it'll continue that way.
Nick, obviously it's a pandemic. We've seen a lot on the news as well as in the sports world. What is it right now that probably concerns you the most with the diagnosis?
Well, I feel fine, so I'm not really concerned that much about my health, but you never know. I just want to make – look, I basically feel like, when we're in our own personal bubble here, I think everybody's in a much safer place. I think as soon as you travel, you get exposed to a lot more things and a lot more people, if that makes any sense. Even though I've worn a mask on the sidelines, I wear a mask all the time, in the hotel, on the bus, in the plane. So nobody really knows, you know, how this occurs. But I know that our medical staff has done a really good job. And the number one thing that I would be concerned about is, you know, can the players still go out, focus on the game, play the game? It's a big game for them. Our goal as coaches is always to get them in the best position they can be in to be able to have success. And we need to try to continue to do that. And that would be, you know, the greatest concern that I have. Not that, you know, I haven't blocked anybody or tackled anybody, caught any passes, thrown any passes in a game for long, long time. So it's still going to be up to how the players execute, and it's still going to be up to it's up to us to try to get them in the best position to do that.
Hey, Coach, you talked about how focused the players are being through this time. When you were able to watch them on Zoom through the practice, just talk about the focus that they have shown.
I didn't see anything different about practice. I got to see a lot more because when you look at it wide angle, you see a lot more than when you're just standing on the field. But, you know, I thought the intensity was good. The focus was good. The players were trying to get it right. So I didn't really see anything any different. I can tell you we've had a lot worse practices when I'm there. So, maybe it was a good thing that I wasn't there.
All right, Chance. So it's kind of great. I really appreciate the fact that Alabama did this because they didn't have to, obviously. And a lot of these schools, particularly in the SEC, they like to, you know, keep all the information on lockdown. But here's Nick Saban front and center. He sounds fantastic. He sounds great. Sounds optimistic. Like I said, he's going to get through this thing. And it sounds like we got us a game here on Saturday. And it's just going to be bizarre as hell to see Nick Saban not on the sidelines. It'd be fascinating to see if they have a, you know, a way for him to coach in the game, or you know, obviously not from the sideline, but from home or whatever, or just giving them notes. And I sure hope that CBS finds a way, even if it's outside, to just have a camera into his den. You know,
people holding candles outside of Saban's residence.
Oh, they're out there already. You know it.
Oh, I know. They've already. Jeez, Mike, I'm sorry. Let me ask you something. I don't know if this is possible or not, but when I went to the, you know, everybody knows, followers of the podcast, I had a little bit of COVID scare myself. Mm-hmm. And they had a room that was like strictly for Corona people, right? You know, like they have their like own air circulating and whatever. But I mean, the game's not till Saturday. I mean, I'm just throwing this out there. Is there a possibility that they could create some room up there that is, you know, Corona safe, you know, bring them in? Not, I don't want to say like bubble boy, but, you know, like, so like he's wearing like, I'm just, this is my head working, Mike, because, you know, we're talking about a lot of money with Nick Saban. We're talking about, I mean, people want him there. People don't want, I mean, Georgia fans, I know they're probably like partly excited that they're not going to deal with it. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you win this game, there's always going to be that asterisk. And it's not going to come down. I mean, even though Nick Saban's going to have his hands into this game, it's his baby. If something happens and Georgia ends up winning this game, there's always going to be that, well, he didn't really lose to Nick Saban. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think this is the best opportunity that Georgia has had in a long time. So I think they want Saban there. And that's why I was asking, is there any possible way that we can get his ass to the building and in some quarantined room, kind of like I joked earlier at the start of the show about Hugh Freeze from his hospital bed. It doesn't have to be like that. I mean, the guy has no symptoms, but if he could be in a room to himself with a headset in real life watching this game, then you can say Nick Saban coached this Alabama Crimson Tide team.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the only way that happens is, I don't know if you're familiar with the term false positive, but sometimes you take a test and you are in fact negative, but you test positive. So they give you another test and hopefully it comes out negative. And I think the rule is you got to have multiple negatives in a row. And if that happens, then you're clear. And even then, I think they might do something like that, you know, where he's in the box isolated. Cause
yeah,
I mean, I'm just spitballing here, but other than that, you know, if he's positive, no, he's got to stay away. He's got to isolate. He's not supposed to leave. He's not supposed to leave for meals. He's not supposed to leave for anything. And I think that's what he's talking about. I'm just down the street, brother. You know, like we got Zoom, we got the telephone. Of course, he don't do email or anything like that. But, you know, they'll be in constant communication with him. But I think the reality, and I'm not seeing anyone talk about this, if he is positive and today's the day they found out, I think he's out for the Tennessee game too. Because I think you have to be out for 10 days. And I'm just doing, you know, the math in my head. That would be right around the Tennessee game. So could he come back if the Tennessee, potentially, he could come back if that's the day he's allowed. But I think it might be the day after the Tennessee game he's allowed to come back. So, yeah, I'm just interested to see how his team plays without him. You know, maybe they play inspired football for him.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just like, I don't know. It's just going to be so weird. Maybe they can't focus, you know?
Let me ask you one more thing, because, like, is this Nick Saban's personal doctor giving this test, or is this like, you know, like a neutral party, or is Kirby going to be in the room?
I mean, the SEC has required all these tests to be third party, independent.
Okay.
They're doing them all.
Because I know guys that, you know, have a little trouble passing drug tests and for the right amount of money. Hey, how's your lungs? You know, just go in there. Can you breathe in this?
The line has shifted already to -4. It was at -6. So that's interesting. Nick Saban, I figured it was worth a little bit more. But
a safety, that's it, huh?
Yeah. So Alabama's still favorite, even with Nick Saban sitting at home on his couch. So, man, this was already the game of the year. Now it's kind of the story of the year.
Yeah.
And it was just going to be fascinating to see how they adjust to all this, you know what?
And Mike, huge news, but clearly not, that's not the biggest news this week with Corona, is it?
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it just keeps getting us. But so let's jump to that one. LSU at Florida postponed officially. This thing is tentatively scheduled to December 12th, the same date Vanderbilt, Missouri is supposed to be played. This will be the week after the final regular season game.
They just got bumped to noon, man. They got bumped to noon. Man, Mizzou had an opportunity. I thought this would be perfect. They'd have their own Saturday, but nope. Coach O said, nope, ain't going to happen.
Hey, this might favor LSU in a weird way, because right before this was announced that it wasn't going to happen, Coach O revealed that Miles Brennan likely doubtful for this game. So he got hurt in that Missouri game. He finished it out. I was not aware that he was dealing with a significant injury, but let's kick it over to Coach O real quick. He revealed this on the SEC Coaches Teleconference.
Coach, you said Miles Brennan was sore Monday, didn't practice. Was that primarily from the hit he took on the goal line when he was trying to run the ball in, and what's his status right now?
Exactly. He's doubtful. I think that maybe Friday he'll come around, but he didn't practice yesterday. He's not going to practice today. I haven't talked to Jack yet, but I know he's not practicing today. I think he's going to practice towards the end of the week.
So, Coach, you thinking you're going to have to start a true freshman at quarterback in the swamp?
Yeah, we may have to. Max and TJ both had great practices yesterday. They're both equal right now. Both of those young men are doing a great job. And if we have to start one of them, we're going to do it. I'm going to believe in them.
So that's what I'm saying, Shade. I mean, this postponement in a weird way. Hell, I mean, it's kind of weird to even think about it this way because we don't know when the game's going to be played. But all of a sudden, LSU gets an extra week to rest their quarterback. They get an extra week to fix this defense.
Yep.
Now, Florida has the same, except obviously their quarterback's not injured. The backup has been kind of banged up. Emory Jones, he didn't make the trip, I don't believe, to Texas A&M. So there's somewhat of an advantage there too. But yeah, I think I think this is plays in LSU's favor. What about you?
You know, it's funny you said that because that's kind of what I was going to ask. When I first heard the news that both these teams were going to get postponed, I was like, you know what? It couldn't happen to two better teams. Like, think about it. With everything going on, there's probably LSU, Florida Gators are probably the two top teams, I would think, that really need a bye week right now to get things settled. Florida coming off that tough loss there at Texas A&M. You know, they got to get that defense fixed. This gives them another week to do so. LSU, same thing. I mean, they're sitting there at 1-2. That's not what we expected. We expected them to possibly be undefeated at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And here they are, and they're not even through the toughest teams of their schedule. So I think this, I mean, obviously sucks that we had to jumble these schedules around. But I think that this is beneficial for both teams.
So let's kick it over next to Scott Strickland, the AD down there at Florida. He gave a Zoom press conference here from Gainesville and just kind of gave the lowdown on what's going on. The information sounds like they got 20-plus players in COVID. They got a couple coaches, not Dan Mullen, though, some assistant coaches. And, you know, one of the damn funniest things I saw on Twitter, someone said, we got to fire someone over this, and I nominate Todd Grantham.
We are due to a significant number of COVID cases. We are unfortunately announcing a postponement of the Florida LSU game that was scheduled for Saturday, and have worked with Scott Woodward, the athletic director at LSU, along with the SEC office, Charlie Hussey, Mark Womack, and of course Commissioner Sankey, to tentatively have rescheduled that game for December 12th, which, as you know, was a date put in the league schedule for circumstances like this, because we anticipated there might be issues as we went through the season. Just to give you guys some details, among our scholarship players, we have 18 current positives. We have another 3 walk-ons who are positive, so a total of 21 current team members. And when you add in those who are quarantined through contact tracing as a result of those positives, in addition to a handful of players who are on a non-COVID injury list, it gives the Gators less than 50 scholarship players available currently. So certainly understand the importance of you know, trying to have a team prepared and available if possible during this odd season that we're all in. Certainly that was our intention, but we've reached a point where we don't think it's appropriate that we try to play the game this weekend. Really have no obvious answers about the origin of the spread, but there's suspicion that the trip this past weekend to College Station probably was at the root of it. And again, a lot of this is anecdotal, but from talking to our sports health staff, a couple of our athletes who have tested positive since coming back from that trip Subsequently reported that late last week they had what they thought were allergy type symptoms. One of them was congested, one had a headache, and they did not report those symptoms as we, you know, we have an expectation they do so, because they didn't think it was anything other than just seasonal type cold that we experienced through allergies or whatever. So there's a suspicion that maybe that is what helped make this an event that had this kind of spread.
What's did you send home the football staff till Monday? I'm seeing people reporting that. I mean, are you guys basically clearing out for a while?
Yeah, we're pausing all activities indefinitely, as I just said. We don't really have a timeline on that. We're just kind of, for the time being, we're going to kind of hit pause on everything.
Yes, Scott, other than reiterating the desire for players to come forward whenever they feel any kind of a symptom, is there anything that you can see here, potential change moving forward, that would help in the protocols?
Well, the travel situation, I think, is going to get a really close review. I think there's been some NFL teams that have also had issues with that very thing, and there's no secret that that's the one part of playing sports that is a little more complicated. You know, you've heard Coach Mullen talk about all the steps we've taken within our own facility to, you know, put the weight room, the weight equipment over in the indoor where they have the open air environment, and have the meeting spaces up in the stadium where, again, they have an open air environment. Doing a lot of things on a day-to-day basis to not put yourself in a position where you have something like this occur. It's hard to create that when you're traveling. And, you know, we've got to continue to be really open to ideas of how we can make those situations a little healthier if you have a situation where you have a potential spreader involved.
All right, so there you have it from Scott Strickland, Shade. And, yeah, it certainly sounds like the danger zone here, and Nick Saban kind of alluded to it a little bit as well, but you know, these teams are doing outstanding as long as they're home, they're in their facility, you know, everything's mm-hmm. monitored. But when you hit the road, and that's not to necessarily blame, you know, Texas A&M where Florida just went, or Ole Miss where Alabama went, but you're talking planes, buses, hotels. This is why what we talked about it on this show, everyone kind of dismissed it, but Will Muschamp, remember he said, I think we should show up the game of the day, or the day of the game, go into the stadium, play the damn game, get the hell out of there. That mm-hmm. that may be what they start doing, because it sounds like that's where these issues are coming from, is because you just don't know when you're going into like an unknown situation. You got so many people.
Yeah. No, I'm just throwing this out there because I saw this tweet. A longtime listener, fan of the podcast, at Stanton Allen, Midnight Rider. He says, anyone else find it odd the last three teams that played A&M, Vandy, Bama, and Florida have either canceled their game Saturday or had the head coach test positive? So I was like, obviously that's coincidence, but there for a minute, I did have to think about it for a second. I was like, wait a minute, what the hell's Jimbo doing down there?
Maybe he's got the kiss of death down there, huh?
I'm telling you, man. So no, there's a lot to this, and you know, one of the coaches, who was it? Kiffin mm-hmm. was talking about this. You know, he goes, we're doing everything we can, because, but you know, we're loading up in extra buses to get on a plane and sit next to each other. Right. So, you know, I mean, obviously this is tougher to work. I mean, you can't really drive to the games, you know, anymore, but I don't know. I'm not the guy to tell you how to keep Corona separate from everybody else. I don't know how, but recirculating air in the airplane, I have heard that that's part of the problems, but
mm-hmm. yeah,
whatever.
All right. So, and unfortunately we're not even done with COVID. So let's kick it down to Oxford, where all of a sudden Ole Miss at Arkansas, this is one of the more entertaining games that I'm thinking is going to be on the schedule this week. And I'm really looking forward to this game. It may not happen now. Now that's certainly not official. We'll have to, there's one final round of testing down there at Ole Miss. But if the spread keeps going, according to Coach Kiffin, certainly sounds like this game's going to be on the chopping block too. So let's kick it over to Coach, talks about the situation down there. And then he was also asked about
the finale of that Arkansas-Auburn game where the Bo Nix spike and everything, and Razorback fans will certainly appreciate this comment.
Well, there have been some COVID outbreaks at Vanderbilt and Florida. I'm wondering how your numbers are.
For the first time, we are having issues with that. And a number of guys out. I'm not going to get into numbers. So we have not had that in season. We had that during camp, but this is the first time dealing with it in season. It's very difficult, you know, moving people around, you know, because and we're beat up too, you know, from a very, you know, high play count, intense game versus a great team Saturday. So we are not in a great situation number-wise at all. We can play today, so we'll see. Well, it said Sunday or Monday, our first meeting, you know, it just got real. So anytime you talk about things, it's never, doesn't hit home until it happens to you, you know, and so now they're seeing it and seeing depth charts move and people have to change positions and different things. So I hope it really was another reminder.
Hey, Coach, after seeing the Arkansas-Auburn game, I was wondering if you had a thought or an opinion on, you know, how that game ended for Arkansas.
I mean, I'm sure Auburn, you know, counting their blessings. I mean, the ball's backwards. I mean, Knox knew that when he saw it. So really a shame for Arkansas to play that well and should have won the game.
So this is how these coaches, you know, they stay away from getting fined, but Kiffin said it himself. I mean, my 11-year-old boy saw that was a damn backwards spike, and how's that not a damn fumble? So, you know, he's getting some good grace there from the Arkansas fan base that is not a big fan of him after that coaching, you know, switcheroo there. But, my God, Shane, like I said, I mean, this is why I'm drinking while I'm doing this show, because I just can't take another postponement at this time. You know what?
No more postponement. I hope everything. I mean, your fingers are crossed. I mean, I watched the NFL and how they're handling it. And like I said, we were joking about, you know, the guy that runs the Coke machine down there at gate 3 gets it. And they send everybody home. And they're like, oh, well, I'm glad it's not the SEC. But, well, we don't know, man. Behind the curtain. You know, the contract tracing and all that, you just, it's an absolute animal. And I feel for the staff trying to keep up with this. I mean, you're fighting something you can't even see, you know what I'm saying? So, and there's so many variables and everybody wants college football, myself included. We just want it done. And, you know, the kids' safety, that is important because, I mean, all it takes is one mic. And if one, you know, doesn't bounce back, then, you know, we're singing a different tune. So I don't know. It's a constant learning. This is something nobody expected. You know, the fact that we're, you know, halfway through October and we've had three games right now is quite impressive. To be the first time that we have to deal with this, I thought we would deal with it week one. But I think these guys are learning and I think they're doing better preventing everybody, but it's still, I mean, it's still a work in progress.
Yeah, I'd say here on Saturday, the games that do go down, those coaches are going to be wearing that face mask, I would say. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. No, definitely.
All right. Final thing here about the COVID situation. Thank God we're almost done with it. But Derek Mason, obviously, Vanderbilt's game with Missouri has been postponed due to Vanderbilt not having enough players. So this was the first that Coach Mason talked about it. So I just thought that Commodore fans, SEC fans would want to hear from Coach. So he kind of breaks down the situation down there in Nashville.
Yes. My football team right now, I mean, we're currently looking, you know, I'm going to get like some of our injured players back as well as, you know, like players that have gone through, you know, contact tracing and or protocols for COVID-19. That's where we sit as of right now. I mean, like today we were able to get out on the field a little bit for the guys, you know, that we do have and, you know, run around. Our numbers haven't, you know, been going up, which is great, you know, for us. But the idea is we had enough guys that were out due to injury and or COVID-19 protocols, man, that we couldn't foresee ourselves playing like this week. And obviously that, you know, waiting to get those numbers back is something that, for us, man, we need as we look to move forward. But we were on the grass today. Again, you know, guys are doing a good job, in the midst of everything going on. And we're just taking it one day at a time.
All right, Shane, so it sounds pretty rough down there in Vanderbilt. I mean, they only got, I think you said 40 scholarship players around there. So, I mean, they're far off from the number. I guess that's why they were able to postpone this thing so quickly. They just knew it was not going to be in the cards. And, you know, I guess they had the right number against South Carolina, but I think it showed in the second half that they didn't have the numbers and with their opt-outs and injuries, and it's just mounting there. And just, you hate to hear it, because we all knew going into this damn 10-game SEC schedule, Vanderbilt was going to be seriously behind the eight ball. And now the fact that they're dealing with all this, it's just putting Derek Mason, who's already on a hot seat, it's just putting him in an unbelievable, difficult spot. And I wish there was some way to fix it, you know?
Yeah, I wish there was. And this podcast turned into a little doom and gloom, Mike. I'm trying to stay positive, but...
Well, the good news is they've already postponed the next game. But the next week, they got a bye week. So they got 2 weeks to deal with the situation, potentially. And then of course, they got to play Ole Miss, who's having their issues. But hopefully by that time, everybody's over it. But, yeah.
Well, the good news is we haven't lost any games yet. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And we haven't lost any coaches or players or, you know, I mean, it's just everything's seems okay. It's just, I don't know. It's just, it's difficult. So, we're just hanging in there, just like you guys are.
Okay, one final thing, Shane. Hey, we got some actual good news. Well, not for you, but for the Georgia Bulldog Nation here.
Georgia... They scored another touchdown.
Might as well have, because Georgia beats, Tennessee for five-star lineman Amarius Mims. Just wanted to make that note because, during the season, we don't talk much recruiting, but this is the number 6 overall player in the nation, number 2 offensive tackle. You just can't let these five-star linemen from the state of Georgia out if you're the Bulldogs. 6'7", 315 pounds. You know, once he gets into that Kirby Smart program, they're going to pack some weight on him. This is maybe their next mammoth lineman. He's the highest-rated commit in Georgia's class. They've already got a five-star quarterback. Now they've potentially got a five-star offensive tackle to protect the blind side of Brock Vandergriff. Georgia's now got the number 7 recruiting class in the nation with plenty of room to move up the rankings. So, great news for the Georgia Bulldogs. Sorry, Shane, but that was a big one. We had to mention that one.
Yeah, I could just see Coach Luke's evil smile. So, yeah, he's happy. It's his vampire teeth.
All right, Shane, so that's all we got. Man, was this was even worse talking about than I thought it would be. But, hey, the next podcast, we may be down a couple, but we're going to make some picks. It's going to be a good podcast. We got a nice little surprise for you guys. We're going to try out a new feature. So let us know what you guys think of that on Friday when you hear that one. But, hey, on the bright side, man, I know this is kind of doom and gloom, but, hell, we got some great games here. We got Georgia, Alabama. We got Tennessee, Kentucky, Auburn, South Carolina, Arkansas, Ole Miss. We got Mississippi State, Texas A&M. Now, remember all those months ago, we didn't even know if we were going to have a damn single game.
Exactly.
If you were to throw up that slate, I would have signed up for it 100 out of 100.
Exactly.
Not the end of the world. We're going to get these games in. And then another thing, I was talking to somebody that said, well, hell, this just extends the SEC season. So here we go. I mean, we got more football to talk about, more podcasts to give. And, hey, there's going to be better days ahead.
Absolutely, Mike. Well, before we get off, man, I do got a little NFL news to get to, brother.
Uh-oh.
Cousin Shane's victory. Touchdown! AJ Green!
Wilson, wants it all, deep ball, Metcalf got it! Touchdown, Seattle!
Second down and three, big hole, Edwards-Helaire will take it to the end zone. Broncos at one, they do, off they go, catches made, get the first and a lot more. Julio Jones out in front, he's going to go all the way. Touchdown,
it throws, intercepted! It's picked off by Minka Fitzpatrick, and Fitzpatrick is going to go!
Trying to check down, it got intercepted by Shy Tuttle, the rookie out of Tennessee. Stiff-arms Ryan flat down as he's down inside the 20.
It's a block from Sherman. It's a block from Thompson. He's off to the races. Cuts inside. You can kiss him goodbye.
Well, I'm going to keep this one simple, Mike, all right, because I'm ill-prepared, as of course.
No.
Seriously, I really am. But I'm just going to go off the games I watched, Mike. How about that?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
All right, so in no particular order, I want to go over a few players. Actually, I'm going to run right into it. One of the guys that I have noticed this year really take off, and it's extremely rare this young for this young of a player to just emerge as a freaking dominance on the field. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be grown ass man DK Metcalf.
Ooh.
Have you seen him lately?
I know he's a damn beast. I saw him and Randy Moss. I can't remember the stat, but I think his stats, the only one that's ever matched him in such a short time is Randy exactly. Moss. So there you go.
Yeah. He's like a David Boston 2.0, but actually is good at football, you know? So, and he was fantastic this week, dude. He ended up catching a couple of crucial catches, but ended up with 6 receptions, 93 yards, and 2 touchdowns. DK, Ole Miss Metcalf, grown-ass man, fantastic game.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, Mike, this one is near and dear to my heart because he's on my fantasy football team. And
no surprise.
I don't know. Yeah. Now this guy is killing it and he doesn't get the respect he deserves. He didn't from the team he just left, and he's starting to get it now with the Carolina Panthers. And that is running back Mike Davis.
Hmm.
That's right. Yeah. A lot of people, when they think about a Carolina running back, they're not thinking of Mike Davis, but since, little Stanford kid got hurt, Christian McCaffrey, this man has stepped in and killed it. For the last 3 weeks, man, he's averaging over 80 yards or 80 yards a game. He's getting a touchdown, but what's best is the receptions. 8, 8, 5, and 9 were the last games. I mean, he's had touchdowns in multiple games this year. I had to give a shout-out to Mike Davis because I don't know how long he's going to have that starting role, but he has been fantastic. And the Carolina Panthers, man, have been undefeated since he's been back there. So I just thought that was impressive. And he's going against the Bears this week.
Mm-hmm.
And why that's funny is because the Bears didn't think he was good enough. And then down here he is down in Carolina freaking killing it. So Mike Davis, South Carolina, number 2.
It sounds like Joe Brady's system really working in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. And last but not least, I should put honorable mention Derrick Henry's stiff arm in here somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
He made that guy look like a little boy, didn't he?
I loved it. It was awesome. I mean, he's a grown-ass man too. But last but not least, Mike, we've got quarterback Ryan Tannehill. Name that college.
Texas A&M.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Came out there, even though Derrick Henry had the highlight, man, if it weren't for Tannehill's performance, I don't think they would have won this game. Even though he had not that many yards, 195, but he had 3 freaking touchdowns and 1 rushing touchdown. The guy was an absolute beast. So Ryan Tannehill, number 1, going over the Buffalo Bills, which surprisingly is a fantastic ball club this year.
Man, he's really rejuvenated his career, too, because I thought after Miami, I thought he was a bust. Now he's looks like a franchise quarterback.
Just needed that second win, baby. Beat them Bills 42-16. I mean, it wasn't even close. And the Bills, they were undefeated at the time. So the Titans back on it, man. They just need a little corona break. Maybe that's what Vandy needs, Mike, you know, just a little break. come back and start kicking some ass. So
absolutely.
But that's all I got from the NFL, Mike.
Okay, well, thanks for sharing that update, Shane. Fans definitely appreciate that one, giving those guys a shout-out, former SEC standouts. But, hey, that's going to do it for this one. We promise the next one will be a lot more uplifting. We're going to have some fun, going to make some picks. And, of course, as always, we like to remind everybody, if you made it this far, if you wouldn't mind giving us that five-star review, written review on Apple Podcasts, we'll send you a beer koozie free of choice. We got Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee, Arkansas, Auburn. We got koozies for all of you, and we got more teams on the way. So that's just our way of saying thanks, but that's all I got. You got anything else before we hop off here?
No, Mike, that's it. Yep, little doom and gloom on this podcast. Next time we'll try to be positive. Oh, too soon?
That's a perfect note to get out on, huh? Thanks for joining me, Shane, as always. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
Dad jokes undefeated. Go Vols.